this is our third episode in the mini-series on college prep. As mentioned earlier, we are doing this mini-series in English as it's primarily focused on US college admissions. There is a reason why people get overwhelmed when it comes to understanding college admission procedures in the US. It is definitely complicated. It is not as simple as just getting good scores in your 12th grade or clearing an entrance exam. It is as complex as life itself, as it tries to gauge and take into account every aspect of your child's personality. In this episode, based on our understanding, we try our best to break it down for you. We speak about what your child needs to be preparing for during high school years on their path to getting into a college of their choice. Parenting has been done for millennia. Irundalum, as an individual parent, it feels like an adventure into uncharted territory.
Naanga experts illa, just friends. Nethu irundhadha vida innikku oru better parent a irukka try pandrom.
Engaloda learnings, experiences, expert inputs and unga kitta irundhu vara feedback indha podcast moolama document pandrom. Na Sunita.
Na Shriram.
Na Madhu. Welcome to Madhuram Musings,
a path to mindful parenting.
Previous episode, we spoke about middle school years, what our kids need to do during those years and how to identify their interests and passions by exploring various courses and various activities. As a continuation from the previous episode, we tried to explore what our kids need to do during the high school years. And even if they have not identified their interests or passions during the middle school years, what they can do during these high school years and how to identify those passions in high school years and what else needs to be done in these 4 years.
Absolutely, Sriram. When we started looking at this whole journey towards college, what needs to be done in middle school, what needs to be done at high school, it started getting a little overwhelming for us because we were gathering information from our school districts in a little bit of internet research on what colleges need. And we spoke to multiple parents from high schoolers and college goers. We also spoke to children and we got information from there. So what we've done is, based on all of this, we've broken it down into three main building blocks or a process map, which, you know, would be ideal for parents to follow. The first building block is identification of interests, passions, where the child's talents lie, what is the skills they possess and all of that. The second building block is based on this, what is the career path they want to take? And for that career path, what are the colleges which they would prefer to go to? Identifying the college of their choice and how do we categorize that? And the third is putting all of that into action, which is the requirement for the colleges, what needs to be done in order to accomplish those requirements or achieve those requirements. Right. So these are the three main building blocks.
Identifying the interests and passions during middle school years is pretty key. But even if we couldn't do that, or if we didn't think about college admissions during those middle school years, it's never too late. In high school years also, we can identify the interests and passions. So there are several ways we can get into that, or there are several ways we can identify the kids' interests and passions. One of them, especially in the academic path, is based on what the electives are available in your particular high school. Each high school and each school district might have different ways of giving these electives. Some of them could be like arts and humanities, business industry endorsements, or public service endorsements, or STEM courses. All those things could be chosen as electives. And each of these categories might have several subdivisions. And based on their particular interest, they can choose the subdivision and the courses. As an example, if you are choosing arts and humanities, there are several subdivisions like music, dance, language arts, social studies, fine arts. And in that particularly, you can choose a special language program, and you can choose Spanish or French, 1, 2, 3, or AP Spanish, and all those kind of courses can help in those. a particular category and subdivision. Most Indians would also be interested in like STEM courses. And if you choose math as a subdivision in a STEM program, then there are courses like algebra, geometry, statistics, calculus. So you can choose different courses and see where their interests lie and what they're passionate about. And obviously, the grades will be a good indicator of what their passions are. But this is just an academic part of their interest. There could be other interests which are non-academic, and it could be extracurricular or it could be sports. Madhu, what do you think of those extracurricular activities and sports and other things?
Extracurricular is something which we encourage our children very early on in their lives, especially in sports and maybe music to a certain extent. But apart from that, we will notice some traits in our children which they really enjoy. Like, for example, gaming. There could be children who are making YouTube videos as a part of their hobby. They could be interested in journalism. So it depends on what they are showing a keen interest in, and that could decide on the elective they want to take in high school. And it is a combination of their academic performance in those electives and the interest they have in pursuing those subjects. Apart from extracurricular, there also it sort of leads into club-based activities as well, which they could do not as an extracurricular where they're going for a class or something, but they're doing out of their own interest.
Yeah, so these clubs can be complementing the electives that they've already chosen. Like if they're interested in English, they can choose a literary club or a debate club as well. So it could be complementary, but it could be something that is not related to academics or that is not offered as an elective as well. Say, for example, a chess club or a comic club could be something that is not offered as an academic program, but they can join a club that is already there in their school. Or if there is no club that is aligned to their passion, they can start their own club as well, so which will give them some added advantage as developing their leadership skills or entrepreneur skills as well. So those are also very important in building their all-round personality and getting admissions into the college.
And let's not like limit ourselves. As Indian parents, we limit ourselves into STEM-based and, you know, something very concrete, right? Making a fun YouTube video on craft is an interest by itself, right? Making a young baker's club, or, you know, if they have a baking stall, candle making, anything and everything needs to be looked at very keenly by parents to identify the talent and encourage them into the allied elective accordingly. Apart from what is available at school, these extracurricular and clubs, there are also summer camps and programs which certain colleges run. For example, Duke's University has a very good comprehensive summer program. They have courses on macroeconomics and finance and math and coding and entrepreneurship and, you know, medicine, research, chemistry, name it and they have it, right? But it definitely needs one important aspect, which is very deep pocket.
So yeah, with this COVID, there are also a lot of online schools which offers online summer programs as well. So we need not be physically present in that locality. So nowadays the options are even more wide open. So summer programs is definitely worth a shot if you have that interest or if you have that money to afford as well. Another thing that might help in identifying this interest is the shadowing. So if you say your child is interested in medicine, you can ask some doctor that you know so that they can your child can follow that doctor and see if they're really interested in that profession. So they can go with the doctor and do a case study or just follow what they are talking to patients and all those things. But this is mainly like an internship or a co-op. It has to be done mainly for the professional courses.
Both shadowing and summer program gives your child like a sneak peek into what their college course is going to hold and what their career is going to hold at a large. So really recommend either of the two. And especially on the summer program, if the child eventually wants to go to the same college which offers a summer program, then admissions get easier. And shadowing is mainly available only in the junior and the senior year in school. having spoken about the first building block, let's move on to the next big one, right? The next big one is, now that we've identified the interest and passion and talent of the child, we'll have to see which college they want to go to and which course they want to take. So identifying the college is the next building block.
Yeah, so identifying the college is very key, because based on that only we'll have to take the electives and see what colleges need to get admission into and all those things. And identifying a college is not easy, because there are hundreds of universities available in the country. So to get it down, narrowing it down to just a handful of colleges is tricky. We can categorize into three different buckets for these colleges. One is safety colleges, where our kid will have a sure shot admission guaranteed kind of a colleges, where their GPAs and credentials will be very much aligned with the college's requirements, right? So safety colleges is somewhere where 75% or more chance of getting admissions into. The next group of colleges is target colleges, where the admission likelihood of getting admissions is 25 to 75% chances. This is where if we put in a little extra effort, we should be able to get our kids admitted into these colleges. Not only GPAs, but also other parts of the admission process will be a little easier compared to the next category, which is called the reach colleges. Reach colleges are something that is beyond our kids' natural abilities, but we need to put extra efforts, and even if they cannot make up with the GPAs or ACT and SAT scores, their essays or their other personalities, their leadership skills can get into those, can help in getting into these colleges. But it needs a lot more efforts than the safety or the target colleges.
While we're spoiled by choice, like Sriram mentioned, in this country, on the number of colleges, you know, which are available, including community colleges, right? Categorizing this like that and seeing what each college needs is where we are able to see what fits us, right? So having seen what fits us, the next step in that, the sub-step rather, I would say in that, is to identify what do these colleges need from us. Right. So what are the admission criteria? What major does that offer? Based on the major, we'll have to see what is the GPA they expect. Do they take in AP scores? Do they take in IB scores? Do they take SAT and ACT scores? Do they need essays? What sort of essays do they need? Do they accept letters of recommendation? Do they have interviews? Right. And what is the moolah involved in that? Right. How much money do they need? Does it even match to what we have planned? What is the difference in the financial need? Is there a different fee structure for in-state, out-of-state? Do they take based on, you know, is there a quota for ethnicity and diversity? You know, things like that. So we'll have to now, based on the colleges we've shortlisted, we'll have to look at all of these.
Identifying these and shortlisting is not an easy task. And we might not be equipped to shortlist these colleges with so much options available, right? So that's where we need professional help. So career counselors will be able to help our kids identify a college that is best suited for their interests. Definitely most schools will have career counselors, and they will be able to help in this. But if their help is probably diluted because of the sheer number of kids they have to address, we can also go into private counselors, which might cost us a little bit more, but the private counselors will do an in-depth analysis and shortlist and identify the colleges that is very much aligned to the kids' interests and passions. But there are also some organizations who are offering counselors for their employees and their kids. So, for example, we have heard that Citibank is offering this as a benefit for their employees, so they can guide their kids into the right career path and the right college. So check with your organization as well if they have any program available for you and to help your kids. Definitely, this will be like more like a private career counselors who will be able to help your kids with more focused attention. So it's worth considering and worth checking out your employer's benefit package.
Yeah, if something's available for free, why give it up, right? So see what available options are there, and we definitely need professional help here. But once we get that professional help, then what do we do, right? So we know what the interests are. We know what colleges we may want to go to. The third big building block is how do we put all this into action, right? So we know how much of GPA these colleges require, but now we need to understand what this GPA is and how do we get to that GPA score. In a very simplistic term, how GPA is calculated is that for each subject, depending on the grade, there is a GPA assigned. So there is a credit and there is a GPA assigned. And depends on the difficulty level they have taken in that subject. Now, if they have taken that subject at grade level, they may get a GPA of 4 for that particular subject if they got an A grade in it. Now, if the difficulty level of it is a little more tougher, like AP or an honors, it would be at a 5 level. And now this depends on the subject, depends on the school, depends on the stream, the difficulty level, it all varies, right? So that's how GPA is calculated. So you will have to look at your own school and school district to see how they calculate it and what they give for what subject and what they give for the difficulty level. Now, we keep speaking of the difficulty level. That's the generic term we're using. But if we have to look at what these are, there is the at grade level. And then there is the gifted and talented, which runs into the honors, which is run by the honors board. But both of these do not give college credits because they are not conducted by the college board. They give only high school credits. But what gives college credit is a more advanced program like advanced placement, which is run by a college board. So that is AP. And then there is the international baccalaureate, which is again a college credit. And this is especially important if you have interest in having your child apply to a college outside of the US because it is internationally recognized. Even if not, it is a great curriculum to pursue.
Yeah, this GPA is very complicated because each school might have a different way of grading this. And they also calculate the CGPA based on weighted or non-weighted CGPAs as well. So not only that, the colleges that we apply might also calculate the GPAs in their own way. We might not be able to fully expand and explore the GPA in this episode. So we have given some links in the show notes so that you can go and refer that to understand it much better. And as you said, Madhu, there are AP and IB courses which can get college credit, but not all AP and IB courses will give you college credit, right? And also not all colleges will accept those AP courses as college credits as well. This depends on college to college. That's why identifying the college in the first place is very important so that we can choose the APs that our college of interest might accept these credits.
So there are GPA calculators, which are also available, which you can use. But we also need to remember that college credit is towards the college, right? So what they will be doing in college, it gets added there. But the high school credit is used to calculate the GPA to get into college, right? So even at a high school credit level, right, not all high school credits get accepted for a GPA calculation. For example, while going to a Tamil school will give you a high school credit, will that high school credit be considered by the college for the GPA calculation is a question mark, right? Most colleges may not accept it. So you'll have to really look into what high school credits will be considered towards the GPA for that college. That's something you need to check based on the college you choose.
There's also something called dual enrollment credits, where the school districts might have tie-ups with the local colleges. Your kid has to go and enroll in those courses in that particular college. You'll have to attend the colleges and get credits for those in both high school and college. So this will help them get admissions a little easier because they already know what the college is and how the college system works in that particular college. They will have an advantage of both getting the credit, but also knowing the college.
Yeah, that really, really helps, especially teenage years. They're not pushed into something alien. There is some continuity and flow into what they're doing and all of that. Yeah, that definitely helps. Then the big, big SAT and ACT tests and preparing for all of that. So now what is SAT and ACT? They are like entrance tests which are given. They are very similar, but they're not the same. And not all colleges require SAT and ACT. And more colleges are deciding not to consider the SAT and ACTS course. So you really need to look at which college you're going to choose, and does that college of choice need an ACT or SAT test? But what is the right time to start preparing? A sophomore or a junior year is a perfect time to start preparing for that, because you can take these tests multiple times. Now, we have a separate episode just to talk about the competitive exams and how to prepare and what to do and all of that. But to cover at a high level, there is a calendar there. You can take it multiple times. But what we advise is that every child takes it at least two times, because the first time there's always these exam jitters, nervousness and all of that. The number of times they take is up to the child and the parent. But when you know in your practice test, you're getting an average score and the child is anyway getting around that score in the final test also, you should know when to stop. There's no point taking it over and over again.
So typically what people recommend is getting their SATs first time during the junior year and then second time during the early part of the senior year, so that they will have some extra understanding, and also it will be right time to start applying for colleges in senior year, and they will have the SAT score by then. The next part is writing the essays. Most colleges require essays nowadays, and they'll give a few topics that we can choose from, or we can probably choose one of our own liking as well. So we'll have to have our kids write a very authentic and natural and honest essay that they are interested about. So that's where identifying the interest is also very key in this aspect as well. We can help our kids in giving feedback and editing, or we can ask our kids to get help from their English teacher or some other adult who can help them write the essays in a better way. But the topic and the core content should be coming from the child themselves, so that it's very honest and authentic. So many colleges might require a separate essay other than a resume, so that you can write anything that is not covered in your resume.
So what goes in a resume? One of the most important things which go in a resume is your volunteer and community service and how you have been a part of the community and impacted that. Now, some schools have a minimum requirement of how many hours of volunteer or community service you put in. Some schools don't. Some schools do give a credit for that. Some schools don't. So it really depends on your school and school district. But this is something which is really important. It also showcases leadership skills for the child. It even if the school doesn't require, I think we strongly suggest your child starts getting involved in volunteer and community service once they get into high school.
Yeah, so I know many high school kids have come to me personally to get this community hours and volunteer hours done. We run a non-profit organization, so we are eligible to give those letters to those kids who are spending the hours in this community service or volunteering. This is not just for the high school credits and not just for getting admissions, but this volunteering will help them in real life as well. So they'll know they'll be a part of this community. So they'll get an understanding of what this community needs, and all those aspects will give them a better rounded personality. Beyond getting school credits and meeting the minimum requirements for the school, colleges might also consider these volunteering hours if it showcases some leadership skills or if it's aligned with their career interests. Colleges might consider those hours as well. But if it's not aligned with their career interests, or if it's just some physical labor that they are doing, then colleges might not give as much weightage to these volunteer hours.
Absolutely. But this is definitely one of my favorite parts of this whole journey towards college and, you know, the high school journey in this country. Sriram, you spoke about leadership and activism and all of that. And that can come in also through the extracurricular, which they do. And that is also worth continuing and pursuing in high school. So obviously we generally focus a lot on sport and music and all of that, but learning an additional language, being a part of an organization like Toastmasters, where you can showcase your debating skills or your spoken skills, event organizing, entrepreneurial endeavors, having your own YouTube channel or a podcast channel, all of this is quite key. we as parents need to encourage our children in that. My son is in middle school, and now he started a podcast thanks to everything we do at Madhuram. And now my daughter wants to start her YouTube channel because she doesn't have a partner in crime for the podcast. So it's interesting how these children pick up from parents, and you know, it's important for us to encourage them in those areas.
Yeah, it is very interesting, Madhu. Your son did it in like just a couple of days. They came up with an idea and then collaborated and just released it within a few hours. We researched on this. We spent like 6 months to, you know, even start releasing our first episode. So they're really fearless and they're really brave, and we should hone those talents and just encourage them. And talking about YouTube and podcasts, they can also go into doing some kind of an internship or part-time shadowing certain professionals. These things comes in later part of the high school, like junior or senior years of the high school. Some professional courses might require this kind of an internship, but not all will need this.
So all of this will go into the child's resume. So all of this extracurricular, volunteer, shadowing really, really gives a lot of weightage when it comes to the resume. So what we need to present is an all-rounded personality, because no college would want to take just based on scores. If that's the case, Harvard would just have an entrance test and just take people based on who aces it. Right, so that's not what they're looking at. They are looking at, from an Ivy League to any college for that matter, is looking at well-rounded personalities which they want in their colleges. It also is important when they build resumes to showcase their uniqueness and what makes the child the person they are. Right, so that is important as they build their resume. And the last topic we want to cover is about scholarship and how to apply for scholarships. Now, again, we have a separate episode just for the financial planning and scholarship bit of it. But there are a lot of scholarships which are available very early on. And we'll take you through what these scholarships are and how do we apply for it in that episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover a lot of this financial aspects in the in a separate episode. But during these high school years, we need to understand how these scholarships works and how to write an essay for the scholarships, because each scholarship might be different, and we might have to create a template for different scholarships and then just tweak it as per the need. So that is very important during these high school years. So with this, we are coming to an end of this episode. We have covered a lot of topics in this episode, but this is just a crux of it. There's too much information, and we wanted to make sure you guys understand it fully. And for that, we also interviewed a few high school kids and college kids who have gone through this and experienced this. And we also talked to their parents to understand their perspective on this. So we'll be soon releasing those interviews in another episode. For lack of time, we might have omitted or missed some aspects of this process, and we have given a lot of links in our show notes which you can refer to and understand these things even better.
இந்த எபிசோட பத்தி உங்க கமெண்ட்ஸ் எங்களுக்கு ஷேர் பண்ணுங்க. Please subscribe to our podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify or your favorite podcast app. நீங்க கேட்டது உங்களுக்கு பிடிச்சிருந்ததுன்னா ப்ளீஸ் ரேட், ரெவ்யூ அண்ட் ஷேர் ஆர் பாட்காஸ்ட். வி ஆர் ஆல்சோ அவைலபிள் அட் madhuramusings.com. See our show notes for the reference links in this episode. உங்களுக்கு ஏதாவது questions or comments இருந்துச்சுன்னா, you can also email us at contact@madhuramusings.com. This podcast is not a recommendation or an advice. Consult a professional for anything specific to your situation. Thank you.